I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hello and welcome to the Loudmouth Project's Voices of Reason. I'm Jason Lee, along with my co-host Amy Donaldson. This week, we're continuing our candidate conversation series for Utah's Republican gubernatorial convention coming up on April 25th. We're extending invitations to all the candidates for governor and their running mates for lieutenant governor to be on our podcast and to discuss their policy positions and why they think they're the best choice to lead the state's government. Joining us this week are Republicans Jeff Birmingham, a Utah businessman, and his running mate, Utah State Senator Dan McKay. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
I want to start off by getting to know you a little bit, Jeff and Dan. So, Jeff, if you can kind of tell us what's your background and how did you decide to think that running for governor was something you wanted to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not a politician. I've been building businesses here in Utah for the last couple decades. I've helped create thousands of jobs here in the state in three main areas: technology, real estate, and finance. I've been active politically while I've been building companies, but economic development is not theoretical to me. It's what I've devoted my life and career to. I've participated in the caucus convention system as a precinct chair, a state and county delegate, as I've been building companies. But for any of you who are entrepreneurs, you know that it takes your whole heart and soul to do that. So I've been focused there, decided to run a little over a year ago when it became clear to me that the playbook that we've been using in Utah for the last decade or more is not the playbook that will keep us on top. I think we see this in our day-to-day lives. We see it in transportation issues. We see it in our air. We feel it. I have four children that go to public schools. Their classroom sizes went from 26 to 30 to 33. And we certainly see it as well in affordability. I don't know if you or anyone that you know or your friends have looked for a first home, but it's very expensive right now. And that's why this election for Utah's next governor, it's not about yesterday's ideas and we have a chance to go back there, or even today's status quo. And we have a lot of, we're running against a lot of kind of career politicians that have been involved in creating the status quo. It is all about tomorrow's opportunity. And I believe that we need a fresh perspective, a politically unentangled leader. There was no one else in the race or that was going to get in the race that represented this, in my opinion. And so that's why I'm running.
And so why choose Dan? And then Dan, you can introduce yourself.
Because Dan's the man. Dan and I have been friends for about a year now, and I've gotten to know Dan as I got more involved in politics. I think three main reasons. Number one, the people of Utah want a public servant in a lieutenant governor, and I think Dan has proven that he's a dedicated public servant. Number two, I thought it was important to buttress myself, again, as an entrepreneur with a fresh perspective, someone who has not been intimately involved in Republican politics for the last decade or more, which again, I think is a strength and I think is important to what we need in our next governor. It was important for me to get in a lieutenant governor, someone who has been involved. And Dan's been in the House and the Senate for many years now. And so that was important. And then lastly, someone who could do the job well, number three, someone who could do the job well and help Utah operate from a position of strength. For those three reasons, and just because we get along well, I think our strengths complement each other. That is why I chose Dan McKay to run with me.
Well, thanks, Jeff. That's nice. Notice he didn't say anything about my looks as he was talking about the criteria for his LG.
We, by the way, we call ourselves Team Ugly, just between us. Between
yeah, no,
that's just
this.
Referring to looks. Yeah.
So, you know, my and obviously I've been in the legislature since 2012. I was appointed by Governor Herbert when Carl Wimmer stepped down to run for Congress. You know, from a legislative policy standpoint, you know, I had never actually been inside the state capitol before I got elected. When I actually won, there were seven candidates that were running. And when I won race, I got a call the next day from the chief clerk of the House. And she said, well, come here, park here and then just come see me. And I said, well, could you meet me at the front door? I have no idea where I'm going. And honestly, it's been a great orientation to state government and how the state government works. But for the most part, I've been involved in business worked in business and my legal career. I've got my wife, Tawny, and I. My wife is on the Riverton City Council. We've lived in Riverton longer than I've lived anywhere else in my life. We've got six kids, range in age from 18 down to 5. And honestly, you know, when Jeff started running for office, you know, I started to listen to his initial pitch of, you know, outsider and, you know, that he's an entrepreneur and he has this experience in economic development. And I took a look at the things that we were doing as a government that Jeff was kind of saying, hey, we could do those things better. And it became very clear that we were missing certain elements in state government that I think Jeff is uniquely focused on and uniquely qualified to deal with, namely focused on, you know, real economic development. Coming out of this pandemic, we are going to need a lot of work and a lot of hustle from somebody who knows how to actually get the economy moving. And Jeff's done a lot of that. You also want to think about the fact that, you know, once we turn this page on the pandemic, we also are going to start looking at, you know, our education system and how can we be innovative there and make improvements in education. And once we've then made that, you know, and as we're making those improvements, then we got to look at the rest of the state and we got to say, okay, it's great that we're trying to find ways to grow on the Wasatch Front. And in some ways, I think Jeff's right about this. We are so focused about growing on the Wasatch Front that in a lot of ways, we're creating two states where we have this Wasatch Front that's going at 100 miles an hour. And then we have off the Wasatch Front, the rural part of our state, that actually in some ways is going backward. And so Jeff being uniquely focused on those three key components, as I've looked at, you know, the last 9 years that I've been involved in the legislature and looked back at what we've done and what we haven't done, those are areas of focus that we need to be working on as a state.
All right. Listen, we're going to continue our discussion. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the policy issues you guys believe. You kind of discussed them a little bit, but hopefully we'll go a little bit more in depth and find out more of what you hope to see for leadership in terms of leading our state going forward as governor, potentially, and as lieutenant governor. You're listening to Voices of Reason. Hello and welcome back to the Loudmouth Project's Voices of Reason. I'm Jason Lee along with Amy Donaldson. This week we're having another candidate conversation, and on this episode we're having Republican candidate for governor Jeff Birmingham, a Utah businessman, and his running mate, Utah State Senator Dan McKay. And gentlemen, earlier in the first segment we asked you know, kind of give some background about yourselves. What I would like to do now is dive in a bit about some of your policies and priorities for running the state. And first of all, I'd like to ask you, what do you consider to be the top priorities, and how would you handle them if you were elected to lead the state as governor and lieutenant governor?
Yeah, Jason, I appreciate the question. It's a great one, and it's critical. Everything has changed in the last 3 weeks. We know that we're all on this. What is this? A Zoom call? I don't even know what we're on. You know, we can't even see each other. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, we can't see each other. We're talking. Everything has changed. And the critical issue will be economic recovery, no doubt about it, in this election. And there are two things that I think caused me to stand out as a gubernatorial candidate in this race. Number one, it's that I'm a non-career politician. I'm a politically unentangled leader. I don't owe anything to anyone. I will bring a fresh perspective to our state, which I think is needed. And then secondly, the second critical thing, and this becomes even more important based on the COVID-19 crisis, the economic fallout, unfortunately, that is occurring here. You know, all the candidates that are running for governor, they're all good people. They're all great people. I know them all well. So does Dan. And they've all had some success in the private sector. But here's a fact. There is not a single candidate in the race for governor that understands the economy like I do. I have been intimately involved in building the economy here in Utah for the last couple decades. And I think that becomes the critical factor, Jace, now with the economic recovery that we need to be having. And so that is the number one issue. And we could talk more specifically about that if you'd like, but that is the number one issue. Like Dan mentioned, lastly, I think number two is education. There's a mismatch between how and what our children are learning and the jobs that actually exist and are coming. So we need to innovate in education. Again, I think a political outsider like myself is much more likely to do that within education. And I think that's a critical risk factor in our state. As I've gone all around the state over the last year, all 29 counties, multiple times, we've held over 500 public meetings. I think that education is the greatest risk factor. And then number three, a third focus that we would have, rural Utah. Rural Utah needs a fighter in their corner. We don't want to become two Utahs like Dan spoke about. We want to make sure that rural Utah has economic diversification, has opportunities to grow and flourish as well. So in a Birmingham McKay administration, those are three of our top priorities. I'm happy and would love to dive deeper into any of those that you guys might be interested in.
Dan, did you have anything to add to that before I throw a question at Jeff regarding the economic stuff?
No, I was just filling out my ballot to support Jeff based on what he
sweet.
Said.
All right.
I got a vote. Thank you, Dan.
Very good, Lieutenant there. I mean, I have two questions. The first one is, how has all of the COVID-19 precautions, how have they changed the way you campaign and the way you reach out to people? And because you aren't a career politician, you don't have the name recognition that some of the other guys in the race have. And then secondly, have you learned anything from these shutdowns or from these precautions that we're taking that might help us evolve and do things better when we come out of this? Maybe we will be more resilient. That's what I keep hearing. I'm just wondering what your take is on both of those things.
Yeah, those are great questions, Amy. Let me try to answer. So this is kind of I think that everyone or a lot of people have kind of heartbreak stories around COVID-19. And certainly this is a health crisis that we're all practicing good social distancing. I don't know if you guys saw Dan and I's launch video, but if not, check it out. We social distance, we throw hand sanitizer and toilet paper around. We all know those things that we need to take. My personal, Jeff Birmingham's personal kind of heartbreak story with COVID-19, and it's not the most important thing going on right now, but I do believe elections are important, and this has completely changed the election. I realized that there were two things that I loved most about running for governor. And that was number one, being with the people of Utah. I don't even view running for governor through a political lens. I mean, the truth is, Dan could back this up, I'm really not that political a person. To me, this is all about leadership, problem solving, and public service. And so to not be able to be with the people that, you know, I love and I'm trying to serve, Amy, that is heartbreaking and really hard. So we have teletown halls now every other day, but they're all virtual. I'm talking into the back of an iPhone, and that's just different than being with people. The second thing that I loved was competing with the great class of gubernatorial candidates. I think that when I was on the stage with the candidates, when we were at events, it was clear that I was different than the other candidates, that I had a fresh perspective. And I think that is important. So we have totally shifted the way that we're campaigning. We're very positive. We're working hard to win delegate support and to win at convention. But I think this boils down to, Amy, the reason that I'm running. The season of management in Utah is passing us. The last decade has been really good. And by the way, we've had good politicians, good elected people, but it hasn't been because of them. The secret sauce in our recipe of success here in Utah are the people. And because of the people, because of the diverse and robust economy that they've created, the last decade has been unbelievable. But things are changing, and the real test of leadership happens during hard times. And that's what my career has been built around, right? I've started with nothing financially. I built companies repeatedly. My career has really been one about disruption, and this is certainly a time of disruption. And I think that I have a critical skill set and a unique resume in this race that will be very helpful for Utah as we try to get back on our feet after the coronavirus fallout on our economy.
We only got about less than a minute to go. So, Dan, I wanted to know, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, you know, I think something Jeff said, well, first of all, I want to say that Utah's success, you know, he said that no politicians had anything to do with it, and he totally missed his talking point. He was supposed to say that it was all me doing it, but in all seriousness, you know, he's absolutely right. What makes Utah unique is not our reliance or the requirement that we look to government really for solutions. If you look at what we've done in Utah, you see a lot of ingenuity and a lot of, you know, community efforts to try and do things. And it's not necessarily, you know, the government kind of pushing things forward or doing things. And one of the things that I really love about that is you have it, like in Jeff's case, you have a guy who's successful. He has a million better things to do with his time. He's a CEO of a multi-billion-dollar real estate company. He could be and he's been extremely successful in the tech industry. He could do all of those things and continue to be successful for his own right. Or he can pivot at this point in his life and take those things that he's learned in the private sector and bring them to government so that he can continue to make, you know, the lives of people in Utah better. And that to me is an amazing aspect that is uniquely from Utah.
When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Jeff Birmingham and Dan McKay. They're running for Utah governor, and hopefully they'll be able to make it through the convention to make it all the way to the primary. You're listening to Voices of Reason. Hello and welcome to the Loudmouth Project's Voices of Reason. I'm Jason Lee, along with my co-host Amy Donaldson. Today we're speaking with Utah Republican candidates for governor and lieutenant governor, Jeff Birmingham, and his running mate, State Senator Dan McKay. And in the previous segments, we've been talking a little bit about issues, and we're hoping to kind of gather some more information about issues that are important to not just obviously here along the Wasatch Front, but to everybody across the state. And Amy, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, I have questions about education. I have a million questions about education, but I'll give you these a few. The first one is, I covered high school sports for 20 years, and I absolutely agree that there are two different states when it comes to the schools and the opportunities kids are attending or getting an education through. What do you do about that? The second thing is, lots of people everybody's teaching their kids at home now, homeschooling, distance learning. Although in San Juan County, they're still, teachers are delivering packets because kids don't have internet. How do you fix those problems? How do you make sure everybody has an equal opportunity to succeed and get an education?
Yeah, this is a critical question. I could talk about this forever as well, Amy. I love education, but I'll try to keep it to like 2 minutes here. So, My wife was a second grade school teacher, and her dad actually was the dean of the business college at Utah State. And we met, my wife Sally and I met at BYU. So we love education, but there are a couple of things that we need to change for the state, or we need to acknowledge and realize. One of which is this, and actually we were in San Juan County, Sally and I were about 2 months ago, visited the school district. Did you work down there, Amy? It's crazy the distance that they have to go to educate their children. Anyways, it's just fascinating.
But I've done the bus ride with the sports teams. I did a story on it. What those kids go through just to play a basketball game is pretty significant.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah, so let me just throw out three or four kind of high-level ideas. Number one, we need to change the culture that having a traditional four-year degree is the only way to be successful. That's just not true anymore. I have a master's degree from BYU, so I love education. But the truth is the value of a traditional four-year degree gets less and less every day. It's a little bit less every day in our current, in the world that we live in. So we need
to
acknowledge that.
You're talking about higher ed, and I'm concerned about kids even just getting through high school, just having the same opportunity in high school. Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's true. So we need to, okay, so let me finish that thought and I'll jump to that. So,
yeah, sure.
So we need to change that culture because the kids in high school are planning for something that maybe isn't best for them. Does that make sense, Amy? So they're making decisions and plans for higher ed that maybe isn't best. And I say that for two reasons. One, we have a massive skilled construction labor shortage here along the Wasatch Front. I have a 15-year-old son. He's a sophomore. He loves to work with his hands. There are not very many opportunities. So we need to pull more of the trades work into our schools, number one. Number two, there are 5,000 unfilled tech jobs in our state. And by the way, that's a way that you can stay in a rural county. If you have good internet, you can stay in a rural county. You can learn to code and program, and you can contribute to tech companies along the Wasatch Front or really anywhere in the world. So we need to modernize our education system. We need to innovate in education. Two or three other quick thoughts. We need to deregulate education. Now I'm going to high school and junior high. There is too much testing. I've hired hundreds of people in my life. Let me tell you a question I have never asked any of them, Amy, and that is, do you test well, or how have you done on your standardized testing? I mean, it doesn't matter. So when we're teaching to a test, we're doing ourselves and our children a disservice, number one. Number two, we need to empower teachers in their classrooms to be in charge. These are some of the dearest souls in our state, and they need to be able to use their God-given talents to love and to teach our children. And then third, and I'll be quiet, we need choice in education. And I'm talking about high school education. Choice creates competition, and competition creates better results. I think that one of the changes that we will have here because of the coronavirus is a change in education. And it will be good for places like San Juan County and others. I think we need choice in education for parents. It doesn't make sense that we try to fit all of our children into a one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter system. We need choice in public schools, private schools, homeschools, online schools, charter schools, all of the above. That creates competition and it creates better results. I'm confident that our team will be a team of innovation and education if we were elected here in Utah.
Dan, did you have anything to add to that especially being a state senator?
Yeah, Amy, thanks for asking. And I think this is important for those listening to the show. You know, I have been in the classroom out in San Juan High School, right? And as the chair of the Appropriations Committee for Education, as a member of the Utah House of Representatives, I did it. I went out on a tour of all of our rural high schools, and not all of them, but I mean, I got out in our rural communities and I went and saw our rural high schools. And it is, you're absolutely right. When you talk about getting from one school to the next, and you know, it is a 4 to 7 to 8 to 10 hour commitment for these kids to get back and forth. It's a big deal. And I think what Jeff though is highlighting is choice means there's also educational alternatives, and that those alternatives are engineered and geared to meet the needs of our students so that they gain the skills that they need. But the secondary criteria is that they gain the skills they need and then the ability to stay in their community and use those skills. Yeah. And I think that
build their community, right?
Yeah. And that seamless approach, you know, right now, in some ways we think of, you know, the factory element of education. You know, you get to the end of a 12th grade education, and a lot of these kids, especially in rural Utah, when that is done, they're then looking around and saying, now what? And for many of them, their only answer is to leave. And so it's actually one of the things, Amy, you mentioned earlier, like, how are things going to change as a result of the COVID virus? And I'm hopeful that as we look at our work practices today, that we have a lot of employers who start to make different decisions and say, you know, maybe I don't need all of my workforce to get into an automobile driven by one person and drive 30 to 40 minutes downtown, impacting air quality, impacting, you know, the roads and the cost of improvements of adding to those roads. Maybe I don't need to do some of those things. And we start to challenge some of the assumptions that we've held for a long time. And I think that's one of the things, as I've listened to Jeff talk about how this will change us, it's really important to, like, be prepared for that shifting economy, not only for the economic perspective and employment, but also in education. So you wanted to talk about healthcare. I don't know. I'm looking at the time. I'm not sure if we saw it.
So we'll come back and talk about healthcare in the next segment, if that's okay.
Hey, can I real quick add one thing to what Dan said? I love what Dan said. And this is, let's elect a governor whose background is in disruption, whose background is in, this is where I've been trained, right? This is what I've lived in. Our society, our state has been disrupted in a massive way over the last 3 weeks, unfortunately, and this will go on for months. I think it's critical that we elect someone with the background that can help us get back on our feet economically and make the most of this disruption and make sure that Utah stays on top.
When we come back, we'll continue our discussion and also, and as Dan mentioned, maybe throw in some healthcare and how we can address that issue. You're listening to Voices of Reason. Welcome back to Voices of Reason. I am Jason Lee, along with Amy Donaldson. And today we're speaking with Republicans Jeff Birmingham, a Utah businessman who's running for governor, and his running mate, Utah State Senator Dan McKay. And we talked a bit about education, and I think Amy wanted to ask you a little bit about another issue or maybe a priority of yours.
Yeah, I am, you know, I'm obsessed with the healthcare debate. So Dan, in 2 minutes or less, tell me, how would you solve, and I think access to insurance is different than access to healthcare. And I would love to know what your ideas are. I don't know how much power the lieutenant governor will have over this, but what are your thoughts on just changing the way we like healthcare is delivered, or that we have access to actual healthcare?
You know, it's funny, Amy. I think about if we could take a healthcare expert and say, okay, if you were king for a day, what would you do, and how would you fundamentally change healthcare? And the one thing you hear from healthcare professionals all the time, because I'm glad you mentioned it, right? Like, access to insurance is different from access to healthcare. You know, you start to think about some of the systemic issues related to healthcare costs and some of those other things, and changes with Medicaid coverage at the state, or when you start to talk about Obamacare. Prior to the Obamacare changes that we had in the state, prior to Obamacare, Utah was shifting from a fee-for-service to a fee-for-care model. And when Obamacare came, it changed the mandates and shifted a bunch of state priorities because, again, the federal dollars were following those priorities. It changed the state priorities from a fee-for-care to back to a fee-for-service and a focus on insurance. And most healthcare professionals that you talk to will say, well, that really might not be the best way to deal with the whole person, right? Or to deal with the healthcare problems. And it certainly isn't a way to deal with costs. So shifting away from fee for service to a fee for care would be a very important step, one. Another important step, Amy, and somehow with the And I say this, and I don't mean it lightly, with the regulatory regime we've set up around healthcare, we literally have providers and insurance companies doing a game of Twister to try and figure out how to meet the medical needs of their patients and their clients, right, from an insurance standpoint. And some of this regulatory stuff is important, but some of the stuff isn't. And in fact, some of our regulatory measures make it so that transparency is really hard to achieve. Try calling your doctor and asking them, hey, when I'm done and my copay is already covered and, you know, what's my out-of-pocket for this procedure? It's impossible to calculate. You know,
I'll do you one better, Dan. I actually called and tried to find out what it costs to get a mammogram because I have a high deductible. No one would tell me except a cash clinic, which didn't accept insurance. They would tell me what it would cost. But that's my problem with this.
Yeah, we need more than anything is transparency in healthcare costs. I mean, Dan and I will fight for transparency in healthcare. I mean, the two places that you see costs up and to the right and just skyrocketing are the two places where we don't have transparency in costs. And that's education, which we just spoke about, and healthcare, which we are now speaking about. There is nothing that we could do better than to help the people. You can't make good decisions if there is not transparency. Now, there's a lot of nuance to that. There's a lot of detail. Sure. But that is the critical component that we will certainly fight for.
And in a totally different podcast, we'll discuss why there isn't transparency because I have theories. But let's switch to some other – Jason and I love to do a little rapid fire here at the end. So Jeff and Dan, each of you, do you have a favorite hobby or favorite author?
Oh, I definitely, I'm an outdoors kind of guy. I love sports. So I love basketball and wake surfing and skiing and mountain biking. So I'm an act tennis. These are all things that I do with my family. So we're a sports outdoors type of family. Those are our favorite hobbies. What about you, Dan? Yeah.
Okay. So you asked about what our family does. Like we love to travel and probably last year we spent some time, 2 weeks in Peru. We were supposed to be in Fiji actually today for 2 weeks. We were supposed to leave yesterday actually. And so travel.
Now you're going to be with me running for governor, Dan.
Now I'm spending time. I mean, yeah, think of what I'm missing out on. So I think about those things that we love to do. And I think about the things that people love to do before, you know, the pandemic. And I'm always thinking about how are those things going to change. And I'm reading more. I'm focused on, you know, playing board games and stuff that, you know, that my family likes to, you know, do to spend time together in between the fighting. And so that's a lot of fun for the kids.
Wanted to ask you, okay, for the, because we're kind of running out of time a little bit, and both of you get to answer some of this. So why should people vote for you? Why should people want to choose you to lead as governor and lieutenant governor?
Yeah, I think, like I said at the beginning, I think this is an essential, a critical election. We have a lot going on right now. There are important things going on in the season of the coronavirus. Like I said, we're doing all that we can to help the health crisis. But this will quickly become an economic crisis. And I think the reason to elect Birmingham McKay is because we represent a different perspective. I have a resume that is different in this race. I'm a non-career politician. I have never run for political office before. I bring a fresh perspective to government, and I think that's what people want. Also, I understand the economy like no one in this race. Economic development is not theoretical to me. I've helped create thousands of jobs here in Utah. We're a conservative team. We have conservative values. We need to keep – we will do all that we can to keep Utah prosperous without sacrificing our way of life. That is what people could depend on in a Birmingham McKay leadership team.
Dan, what are your thoughts? Dan?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was so excited about what Jeff said. I'm like, there's nothing I can really add to it. But I'll say this.
I thought you might
this.
Yell, amen.
Yeah, I thought about it. But I didn't want to confuse our listeners with a religious programming or something. So. So, all of that being said, Jeff and I are real people. We have real families. We are, you know, every day we are dealing with day-to-day issues just like everybody else's family. And I think in a very real way, Utah, it's time for Utah to have people in the governor's mansion that understand their day-to-day concerns and the day-to-day issues that they're dealing with, and finding a way to keep, you know, to connect the government with their needs and at the same time keeping the government out of their way.
Listen, I want to thank Jeff Birmingham and State Senator Dan McKay. Thank you very much for joining us, and best of luck to you on the campaign trail.
Thanks, guys. Love being on.
Join us again for the campaign next episode.
That's right.
That's right.
Join us again for the next episode of the Loudmouth Project's Voices of Reason. If you have any comments about our show, please contact us via email at vormed@gmail.com or at vorjasonl@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter at adonsports and at jasonlee1. Our show's Twitter handle is @VORPodcast. Check out our Facebook page, and you can also find and subscribe to free episodes of our podcast on all the places where you find interesting content. Be sure to review our show as well. We love to get your feedback, and it helps us grow our audience. Until next time, I'm Jason Lee. When you engage in passionate debate, do your best to keep your dialogue civil. Try to be the voice of reason. Voices of Reason is a production of the Loudmouth Project.